You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, I've been thinking a lot about a recent trip I took, and when I mean recent, I'd have to say a couple years ago. A recent trip I took where I was on a boat for a decent period of time, for a couple of weeks. And I know it's not for a year or anything like that, but I was there for a couple of weeks on this boat. And I find it very interesting how we live on a boat versus how we live at home. And I think it's interesting how when you start understanding what it's like to live on a boat, what it's like to live on a boat with limited resources and limited amount of energy and all this stuff, you seem to be able to take care of it. You seem to be able to conserve it. And you seem to be able to use less of it than you normally do. And it's interesting because, you know, I'm one of those kids that never got to go camping. My mother wasn't into camping. My dad wasn't into camping. Nobody was into camping. So I did not ever go camping. I've been used to having water, having food, all those things, not thinking about the shortage or what would happen if you ran out. And it's interesting because I feel that until we're in a position where we don't have it or where we have to ration it, we really don't understand the value of what we have. And I think it's interesting because I look at my own little personal side imperfections, maybe. And, you know, I use too much paper products. If I was to say my downfall, it would not downfall, but basically what I need to work on. If I was to look at what I need to work on and realize it, really wholeheartedly see it for what it is, it would be how much paper products I use, how many paper towels and toilet paper and that sort of thing. And it would be that I need to continue to work on another project that I've been doing. And I know this sounds funny or maybe hokey to some people, but I think it really works. Is I've been really realizing when I'm using too much water. And I began a few months ago employing my concept of being on the boat. And by being on the boat, I mean, when I was on the boat, you have a limited amount of fresh water. And with that water, you bathe, brush your teeth, wash your face, do all that stuff. You cook with it. There's a lot of things you do. And depending on how many people you have on the boat, usually defers to how much you're going to have water, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's very interesting because the first day I was on the boat, I realized that you do not leave the sink running while you are brushing your teeth. If you know what's good for you, you just don't. Because you know what? You don't want to run out of water. Nobody wants to run out of water. But think about it. It really puts it into perspective. There are some people out there who don't have water. Or they have a very little bit of water that they're allowed to drink that day. And it always anguishes me. And it's not really so much that it angers me, it saddens me. It makes me sad. When I see people throw away their water bottles full of water into the trash can. It seems wrong. I mean, it's interesting to think about, like, all the waters that get collected at the TSA checkpoint. Think about how much water that is and how some people in this world beg for that amount of water. And it's like we have to really put things into perspective right now because I think that more than ever, Mother Earth needs to be taken care of. And I am somebody who loves trees and I love the environment and I love everything about it. I love every leaf. I love every bit of dirt, every bird, everything. And it's essential to try to keep this environment as clean as possible. And lately, we've been seeing all kinds of newscasts on various water sources that have become polluted or have always been polluted, or they've been hidden by the fact of how polluted they are. You know, we're going through a process of more people on this planet. But better yet, I feel that conservation, especially with deep, thoughtful, spiritual people, can lend itself into something quite amazing. You know, I always find it interesting because when I meet people, I always get to meet them on a level that they're at. I get to meet them at the deepest level they're at. And some people that I meet, it just really resonates with the fact that they really do care. And I know that my listeners, I know that you very much care about the environment. I know that our water supply is very important to you. I know that the animal population is very important to you. And I know that your spiritual growth is just as important to you. And with that being said, I think that you can understand me better than anybody when I stress the fact that we should begin to live as though we are on a boat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And why I believe this is important is, first off, the idea of conservation. I am big on conservation, and we're able to ration our food, our water, and for some of you out there, the alcohol and other types of recreational type thing. And you know, whatever, if it's for glaucoma or just for anxiety, when you're out on a boat and you have a finite amount of things and items and stuff and water and food and all that kind of stuff, you begin to be conservative. Think about it. You begin to begin conservative because you realize that you do have a finite amount. You don't know when you'll be back. You don't know when you'll be able to get more rations. And so you figure the fact that you need to conserve what you have. And I think this is highly critical for where we are right now and the time that we live in. I find we're in a place where when we begin to live this way, not only do we see the value in what we have, but we begin to become more grateful for it. And I think it's interesting. I think that we are all in a position to even understand our life to a greater extent the more we do this. It was interesting. Earlier today, I was talking to a friend of mine. We were actually messaging back and forth, and he lived on a boat for quite some time. He lived on a sailboat, and we've been friends for a while and known each other back since school. And we were talking back and forth via email. And I said, hey, tell me a few of the things that you learned by living on a boat, by living on the sea for a decent period of time. What are some of the things that you learned? And, you know, his first thing was about conservation, about conserving water and electricity and, you know, doing things that he was able to create this or create that and forgo using that electricity to do certain things. And I'll talk about that a little later. But conservation was on the top of his list. The next thing that he talked about was appreciating and accepting the simplicity. Appreciating and accepting the simplicity of the situation, because you realize that boats do get small rather quickly. Think about it. It's a boat. It gets small. There's only so many places to go. There's only so many rooms to go in. And, you know, you get the situation, depending on how small it is, the smaller the boat feels. But the last thing that you want on a boat is a lot of clutter and a lot of clothing. There's just not a lot of room for a lot of stuff. And I think it's interesting because I think that a lot of us are held up or held back by the things that we have. And it's interesting how the things that we have actually kind of have us. Think about it. The things that we have kind of have us. And what I mean by that is when we have a lot of things holding us and tying us to this earth and tying us to this place, I have some clients that come into my office and tell me about they have a 20,000 square foot home here, one in Aspen, a private plane, 6 cars. You get these people that have all this stuff. They've been collecting this stuff. And it's interesting how I think at one point in time it did make them very happy, maybe for a split second, maybe for a minute, maybe for an hour, maybe for a year. But it's interesting to see these same people, when they begin to realize that buying these things haven't really made them happy, but more than that, they have a lot of things that they have to take care of all the time. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of time that goes into it. And I find it interesting that when you are on a boat and you live your life with the idea of living on a boat, you don't buy a bunch of stuff. And in my own life, just recently, when I go to the mall or go to stores, I used to buy knickknacks and those kind of things. I just love putting stuff on shelves. And I have stopped doing that. I don't buy any new furniture. I don't buy any new silverware or plates or mugs or any of that. I don't buy any new trinkets or little things to go up on the wall or anything. I just don't anymore. And I've realized I have enough stuff. I have enough stuff. And I think it's important to realize that, because when we begin to realize that we have enough stuff, we realize that because we understand that that stuff isn't necessarily going to bring us happiness. But better yet, that stuff is just that. It's just stuff. And the more stuff we have, the more things we have to organize, the more things we have to organize, the more clutter we obviously get. And I'm not the most organized person when it comes to my home. And, you know, my husband would like to argue about that because he is extremely organized, and I'm not a hoarder, okay? I'm not like that extreme, but I am a person that I like to keep certain things, and I kind of pile stuff up, and I put it in drawers, and so I have to, the drawers that usually would hold clothing are now holding little items or trinkets or that kind of thing, and so I've realized I don't want to add anymore. I don't want to add. I just want to either give away, find the value in it, give it to somebody that needs it. Don't buy anymore. So stay tuned. We return to me talking about how when we see our life, envision it as living on a sailboat or on a boat, and how that changes things, but also what that does to us by conserving, by seeing the value, by being grateful for the life we have. Stay tuned, because Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. I'll be back this time in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. I've been talking tonight about how we can live our true life even better than we are now by employing the concepts of what it's like to live on a boat. I know some of you might not have ever lived on a boat, never taken a long vacation on a boat where it was the boat. There was no hotel, it's the boat, and you're going to eat on it, you're going to sleep on it, you're going to take a shower on it. It's not just for an excursion for a day, and this is going to last for a while. And if any of you have done it, you understand exactly what I'm speaking of, that there is a conservation issue. There's a pick up after yourself. There's a no clutter policy. But better yet, it seems that we realize how fragile the world is and the seas are and how much water we have when we are out there, because guess what? You only have a finite amount of resources. And I always find that very interesting when you're watching like Survivor or different shows like that. And it does put into perspective some people's lives. You know, think about it. It's not just a TV show for some people. There's some people out there in this world who are starving, who don't have clean water. Okay, and there's some situations that are going on in the United States right now, too, that are getting out of hand as well. And there are a lot of people out there that do not have clean water, do not have rations or food. Some people who are living with no electricity, no heat, no air. And it really puts it in perspective, your life, when you think about it as living on a boat. And I was on the phone with a friend of mine today. And I was also emailing and texting another friend of mine. And both of them are boat owners. And one of them is a powerboat owner. And one of them is a sailboat owner. And it's very interesting because both of them agreed that conservation of water and food and rations was at the very top of their list, especially for long excursions, because you just never know how long it's going to be till you get to be able to get more water, till you get to a certain dock, and all that kind of stuff. You don't really know about all that stuff. And so you got to keep that into consideration. The second most important thing was the simplicity was very important about appreciating the simplicity of being on a boat. But their biggest thing was about the clutter. That you can't have a lot of things on a boat. That, you know, a lot of things on a boat you can't have because there's not a lot of room. There's not a lot of room for trinkets and there's not a lot of room for clothing. I mean, it's very small storage area. I mean, you can only have so much clothing. And you got to kind of think about it in those terms. And I think that if you look at your life this way, you begin to simplify your life. Sure, you might not live on a boat. But if you kind of realize or at least kind of associate the fact that when you're out the next time at the mall, not buying a bunch of stuff at Home Goods, you know, buying only what you need. And then when you buy something new, you replace it. And you either sell, give away, or recycle. You sell, give away, or recycle whatever it is that you are replacing. And I found that to work very well because my issue back in the day was you just buy, and then you have a bunch of stuff. And you didn't replace anything, you didn't recycle anything, you didn't give anything away, and now you just got all this stuff. So why did you buy it? And I think a lot of us right now are sitting on a lot of things. We've been sitting on a lot of things for a very long period of time. And I think these things are actually holding us back. And it's not like the things want to hold us back. It's not like, you know, the 20 sets of sheets you have that are all, you know, folded or better yet, some of you, ironed and hanging up in a closet. I mean, what is it doing? I mean, how many pairs of sheets do you feasibly need? And I know that's interesting because a lot of us have several of things that we don't use. And some of us have things laying around that we're never going to use. We're never going to use it again. We found something to replace it and it's just sitting there. So what are we doing? And I believe that when we employ the imagery of being on a boat with a finite amount of space, with a certain amount of rations, and the inability to clutter and junk it up, I think we begin to see our life as it should be. We begin to see our life as it should be. And I think one thing that we miss out on a lot of us live in these big homes, and I have clients that live in these huge homes. I have no idea why. I had one client come in, and they said that they bought this huge home, and they told me the square footage. It was like 10,000 square feet. And I said, how many people are living there? And they said, me and my husband, that's it. Do y'all have any kids? No. Do you have a mother-in-law or your mom living with you? No. Living housekeeper? No. Just them two for 10,000 indoor square feet. I mean, why? I mean, I understand there's a lot of people out there that want the status symbol, and I get it, but that is definitely not what I would want. I mean, my idea of an amazing home is a two-bedroom house on the beach. You know, that's it. Nice living area. I mean, I don't mind seeing the person I live with. And I find that nowadays we have so much space and so much room and so much distance between us and the people we live with that we find it hard to be with them. We find it hard to communicate. But better yet, like one of my friends was saying, that they found it difficult in the beginning to share. Because in small, confined areas, you've got to share things. You've got to work together. And one of my friends was telling me, he said that you, like, for example, climbing into bed. You know, the bed is set up in a certain way that one person can get in and has to wait for the other person. Two people can't get in at the same time. And that's so true. On a boat, in a small boat, for the most part, that's true. You would have to be on a large yacht to be able to get in and both people at one time. And it's interesting the things that we take for granted. It's interesting. And I feel that a lot of times we miss out on the elegance and the amazingness of our relationships because We're too busy wondering what other people think about it, or if we're good enough, or do we have enough money, or is this where we want to be, or will this go to this next level, or will people look at us with greatness or grandeur, or will this all work for us, or will this parlay us into a better social circle, or will this car get me seen by more people, or will more people like me because of my vehicle, or because of this? I mean, why are we doing this? And I find that we miss out on why we're here. And I think it's interesting, when I was on the boat, you begin to get used to the small areas. You don't need a lot of room. You begin to realize that you don't need a lot of room. And it's interesting, what I found too, is you begin to go outside a lot more. You begin to use the outside area more because it's nice and it's comfortable. And I find that highly interesting because I know that most people, for the most part, the majority of people find themselves indoors more than outdoors. And I find that being in nature is very therapeutic. I find that being in nature helps us to connect with the source. I believe that nature and being outside and being one with nature and one with the source is very appealing. And I find that when you are on a boat situation, this type of thing ends up becoming more commonplace. And I'd have to say that the more you're outside and the more you're in nature, for the majority of the time, the more calm you are, the less anxious you are, and the more grateful you become. And the reason for that is you begin to see things from a different perspective. You see the outdoors in all its grandeur. You realize what you've been missing. You realize that no TV can replace nature, the Earth's beauty. I mean, it's interesting. There's folks that, you know, get to live by the beach. And I know that some of my listeners tonight live in a beach towns. Live close to the coast, if not on the coast. And isn't it interesting how sometimes we lose sight of what's truly important? And once we go outside or walk down that beach or walk down that block or those two blocks or those three blocks and get to the beach and walk out there and the wind in your hair and you see it and you hear the seagulls and you hear all the sounds and you smell the ocean and you see the seagrass and you hear various animal sounds that you can only hear in the ocean and at the beach, and you see the children running and playing and building sandcastles and throwing sand on each other, and you realize, what am I doing? I've been locked in all day watching TV, a marathon of, you know, the Living Dead or whatever. What have I been doing all day? And I find that when we connect with nature, we directly connect with ourselves. When we return, I'll be talking more about seeing life as a big boat ride, about seeing this and placing this into your own life to better your own life right now, but better yet, how you can get more out of your life today and begin to have more joy and find being more grateful every day of your life. Live Your True Life Perspectives. We'll be back here, and I'll be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. I'm asking tonight for you to begin to see your life day to day as if you were living on a boat with limited resources. And the reason why I think this show is so important now more than ever before is there is a limited resource on this earth. But better yet, I find that the more we realize and the more we ration and the more grateful we are, the better it gets. Yeah, I know this is interesting, but recently when I've been drinking my water, I put love into my water and I visualize love and I meditate on that and then I drink my water and it's a life-saving thing. And when I don't waste it, I feel so much better about it. And I don't ever throw bottles of water in the trash that have water in them. And I always recycle the bottles. And I try to reuse them as many times as possible. Some of you would argue with the types of plastic. But for the most part, I try to get a glass bottle that I reuse all the time. But I feel that when we become more grateful and we see the value of the resources we have in our life, we're able to capitalize on that and actually see it for what it is. You know, when you're on a boat, you have certain rations, certain things are rationed, you have only a certain amount of water, you can't run the sink the whole time while you're brushing your teeth, you can't heat, you can't spend a lot of time heating up the shower, okay? And you got to look at how much, you know, energy you're using for the hot water heater. How much energy are you using on the oven? Would you like to watch a movie? Think about power. Think about engine, think about oil, think about gas, think about water, think about all these things that a lot of us don't pay attention to. I think the next thing that we want to talk about is that when you're on a boat, you generate as little waste as possible. You know, instead of using an excess of water and buying and eating food, you know, you think about how much food you're eating, how much you're buying. What about like re-cleaning things and using things? But it's interesting how less excess makes for less waste. Because you got to do something with it. And in a small, confined area, you don't want a bunch of trash piling up in the boat. And a lot of us throw things away like it's going out of style. We throw things away, we don't recycle. I see people all the time walk away from the recycle area and throw things in the trash that could have definitely been recycled. It's like, my God, it's like plastic murder. What are you doing here? And I feel like we have to inspire people, and I think that it begins with a grassroots effort to inspire people to realize the power that they have and to realize how grateful maybe they should be. You know, I think it's interesting because when you're on a boat, you're not as isolated. I find that a lot of people are isolated. You live in the suburbs, you live in a small little area and you have your home and you have your white picket fence or you have your 6-foot fence or you have your 9-foot privacy fence for some of you. And life is kind of isolated. And you're isolated from the elements. You don't have to worry if it rains, what's going to happen. If the wind gets real bad, for the most part, you're not worrying that much. But when you are in a boat, you do have to adapt. And it's not just to the actual weather. You have to adapt to your own emotional well-being. You have to adapt to what's going on the boat. And I find that a lot of us, instead of dealing with what's at hand, we have a tendency of running away from it, running out of it, trying to find a better situation, and not really solving the issues at hand. And what I'm really meaning by this is this. If you've ever been on a boat, you know that if you have more than yourself, that means that you have other people. That means that you're going to have more things going on. That means that you might not always feel the same way as they do. They might not always feel the same way as you do. Now, if it's a couple, if it's you and your wife or you and your husband, you know what I'm saying? It can be very fun at sometimes, but you can gripe, you can argue, you can fuss, you can fight, and you're in a small, confined area. There is no, I'm leaving to go to the bar up the street. There is no, I'm taking a walk, don't wait up for me. There is no, I'm going to see my friends, I'll talk to you later. No, there's none of this. There's none of this. You are out on the open seas, and there is no just taking off because you're in a bad mood. There's no taking off because somebody yelled at you. You've got to deal with it. And I find that very interesting because I feel that our society lately, not everybody, takes the easy way out. Well, I don't need to deal with this, or I don't need to deal with that, or what am I going to do with this, or what am I going to do with that? Because I don't want to deal with it, and so I don't have to deal with it. And I think if we look at the analogy of being on the boat, we begin to recognize some of the things we're taking for granted, as well as some of the easy ways out that we've taken. I mean, heck, I know I've done it, the easy way out sometimes. And not always. I'm kind of big on, you know, let's get this out in the open, and let's get this out in the open, let's figure this out, get down to the bottom of this and move on. I'm very big on that. It's something I'm very big on. However, there have been some times where the issue seems so big that you decide that we'll just deal with it another time. We'll table this. We'll come back to it. Talk to you later. See you later. Don't let the door hit you in the butt on the way out. But if you think about our boat analogy, you can't do that. There's nowhere to go. And so it's interesting how we must, at that point in time, look within ourselves to make things right. And I think it's interesting because I think when we look at this boat analogy, it takes us into another step of our life. It helps us to understand things greatly, but at the same time, it makes our life more about living than having. Instead of having all this stuff, we are living. And I find that in our modern society, there is so much energy and thought put into what do you have? What car do you drive? What cars do you have? Where do you live? Where's your house at? Where's your condo at? All this good stuff. What kind of furniture do you have? Do you have a lot of modern furniture? Who made that piece of furniture? Oh, that's so-and-so. Oh, okay. Is that an original or is that a copy? And I find that we basically strap ourselves down based on what we have. And it's interesting how you see some of the most free people in the world have very little. And I'm not saying for you to sell all your worldly goods right now. I'm not at all saying that, because I would have to do that before I would ever ask you to do that. And I think that's a little, like, you know, a little excessive to ask other people to do that. But I am working on creating a new lifestyle. I'm working to create this new lifestyle that I've been implementing slowly and surely within my life, because it takes time to completely change a life when it comes to resources and thoughts and being grateful and what you do and how you do this and what do you drink for this and how do you do that. You have to put things into perspective. You can't do it all at one time. And you have to accept that certain things will take a little longer to adapt them into your daily life. And I'm coming up with a lifestyle change. And what I like about this lifestyle, this new lifestyle, you know, we can call it the 3.0 lifestyle. I don't care. Whatever you want to call it. This new lifestyle is really all about living and not having. And it's not that you can't have possessions. It's not that you can't have a nice things. But it is about how you focus on these things. What power do you give them? And I want to bring up a story from my own life. You know, years ago, I had some back surgery done. I had vertebrae replacement in my spine. And I wasn't able to drive for 2 weeks. And I was in the hospital for about 4 days for the procedure. And I remember at the time my husband was wanting to buy a new car, and he knows how I am. He's hilarious. He knows how I am because I'm kind of a spendthrift when it comes to certain things. And I'm very thoughtful when it comes to age of cars and those types of things, especially foreign cars and the upkeep and the maintenance of it, just because I was surrounded by it my whole life. And so when I went in to go into the surgery, he ended up buying a car while I was in surgery. And we won't name names or point fingers or name names, but he bought a great car, and he spent a decent price on it. It wasn't wasn't awful, but it was one of those cars that every single mile you put on it, it lowers its value. Every single mile you put on it, the value goes down. And to me, this is a losing proposition. And I think it's a losing proposition for many reasons. And let me explain why. One, it's a car. It should be driven. A car is made to be driven. It's made to be driven. It's not made to sit in a showroom. It's not made to sit in a garage. It's not made to have a cover on it for its whole life. It's made to be driven. And so when we return, I'm going to be talking more about that car, what happened, what ended up happening to the vehicle, and why I finally put my foot down and sold it. Check out AshleyBurgess.com, AshleyBurgess.com, for the latest of blogs and videos. I've been doing 3 videos a week, Monday Motivation, Transformation Tuesday, and TBT, hashtag TBT, Throwback Thursday. All short videos, under 2 minutes, that will help motivate, transform, make you laugh. Check those out. You can check those out on YouTube. You can also check that out on my public page, Ashley Burgess, on Facebook. Like it, comment, and I want to hear from you. Stay tuned because Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in, well, you got it. I'll be back this time in 2 shakes. You could
be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. I've been talking about using the analogy of living on a boat and communicating that with your life and actually seeing and living truly like the fact that you have limited resources, like you are living in a boat, that you don't need a lot of space, that you don't need a lot of clutter and a lot of things to make you happy. And I was just unveiling my new concept of the Lifestyle 3.0. I call it hashtag LYTL Lifestyle because you're living your true life. Because once you begin to understand and to make little small changes that have a ripple effect that not only change your life, but change the lives of the people around you and the world we live in. You might not feel like you're that big, but you are. And when you begin to realize that the things you do impact others and other people watch you, even when you don't even know they're watching you, you begin to realize that what you do does matter. And everything you do is extremely, extremely important. So let's talk about the hashtag LYTL lifestyle. The first thing is to live, living and not having. I found that living is so much better than having. I mean, when you have a bunch of stuff, you got to take care of all that stuff. I mean, some of you have so much stuff, you can't even go out of town because you got so much stuff. And I think it's interesting. I had surgery done a few years back. I was talking about this right before the break. I had surgery a few years back on my spine. I had vertebrae replacement in my spine. And when I went into the hospital, I was there for about 4 days, and then I couldn't drive for about 2 weeks. And that was excruciating. Not driving? Oh, my God. Anyway, so when I went in for the surgery, my husband ended up buying a car because he knows how I am. I'm very thoughtful, and I'm watching pricing, and I'm just kind of... It's not that I am, like... It's not like I'm cheap, but I'm kind of frugal in certain things, right? And he bought a car while I was in surgery, and it got transported here. And he did good on the price and that kind of thing. But the problem is, it's one of those kind of vehicles, like most vehicles are, that every single mile you put on it depreciates the value of the car. And I don't know about you, but there are cars that literally, once they hit 19,000 miles, that value goes way down. And so what we found ourselves in was what I consider, and he didn't really consider it till later on, I consider it a losing proposition. In the very beginning, he got to drive the car to work, and he was loving it, and it was a comfortable ride, and he got to drive, and it was comfortable, and it was the nicest car he'd ever had, and he really, really enjoyed it. But there came a time when he realized that he had quickly put 6,000 miles on the vehicle. Eventually, he realized he had put another 3,000 miles on the vehicle, and it was about, I would say there was about probably like 6,000 miles to begin with. And I remember one day he was like, you know what? I'm not going to be able to drive this car to work anymore. He's like, it's pretty high up there in the miles. And I said, how many miles does it have? And he goes, about 17,800. And I was like, well, why would you buy a car that you can't put mileage on it? A car should be driven. A car was made to be driven. I mean, yes, it was made to be driven, not ragged out. It was made to be driven with respect. And he said, well, I just don't know what I can do, because if you look at Auto Trader or you look at any of these sites, anything past 19, it changes the value of the car. 19,000 miles. And so what took place those next 2 years, to me, was a sad state of affairs. Okay? First off, we didn't drive it very much. And because we didn't drive it very much, the battery would die. When the battery would die, you'd have to actually bring it in to the dealership and have them put in a new battery. We had to drop two new batteries in that car in a period of 2 years because we didn't drive it. When I would drive it to keep up the battery, I would drive it around in circles around my house for like 2 miles and then drive it back into the garage, put the cover on it, and lock it up. This is not right. Why buy something that you can't use? Why have something but you can't really have fun with it? You can't live with it. You don't grow with it. It's like a part of you is in an item or in a thing that really isn't being used to the best of its ability. And I find that interesting because I think a lot of us have gone through life where we bought things. Maybe for some of us it's shoes. Maybe for others of it, it's a car, a motorcycle, a second home, a surfboard we never use, a small little sailboat we don't use that we leave in the marina. What about, sadly enough, some people that have horses, that have them up at the stables where they rent a stable, but they never see their horse? A horse is an animal. That's got a heart. That's got a soul. It knows that you haven't been there. I mean, there's things that we have to eventually let go and find somebody that can take care of them, somebody that has the time, somebody that's in the position to do it, not just throwing off our responsibilities now, but realizing what we've done, repent for it, and then find the right surrogate option to allow this animal, this pet, or this car, or this house, to be loved, to be lived in, or to be lived with, or to have fun with, and to have fun with, and to live with, and love, instead of just being another thing that we have. You know, I think it's interesting when we employ this new LYTL lifestyle. We begin living and not just having, but we also become more grateful with every passing moment. And why that is that we realize that we do have life-saving water. We do have food. And we begin to eat and drink from a grateful standpoint, meaning that we don't overdo, we don't overeat, we don't overdrink, and we're blessed to have what we have. And I think it's very interesting when we look at it from those grateful standpoint, it brings more joy into our life. We get more from it, right? And I think that's what the concept of the prayer is over food. And I think you can do the same thing in meditation, right? Is to really think about it. Or just have your thoughts with your heart really focus on the item or the food or the water. And when we're more thoughtful, we become more grateful. And I found that when we're living our true life, we're thoughtful and we're expressive, and we understand that we are not, that things, we're not just given things. And I think there's a lot of society right now who believes that they are entitled. They're entitled to everything. They're entitled to this, to that. And I believe that the more grateful we are, the more joyful we are, and the more thoughtful we are, we're not ever going to be entitled. And I found that entitlement only ruins somebody. Like, it spoils them, like spoiled milk. It spoils them. And it's, you can't take spoiled milk and make it right. Do you see what I'm saying? You can't boil the spoil out of the milk. It's just spoiled. And life is interesting that way. And I find that when we're living our true life and we understand how grateful we are of the things we have, and we realize that there's a finite, and we live our life with that, where it's not excessive. We know that there's a finite amount, and we use what we have, and we're grateful for what we have, and we're thoughtful about what we have, and we express our feelings of joy and happiness and comfort and purpose with what we have. And at the same time, there's no way we're entitled. Last but not least tonight, I think this ripple effect is very interesting. And I find that the more good we do, the more good we see, the more good there is. I also find that in life, when we see the best and we see things and we see the joy and we see nature and we see the beauty without wanting things a specific way or without coloring things from a different perception, when we're able to see things and people through our heart and to love unconditionally, there's a ripple effect, and it affects everybody around you. And some people, yes, some people it'll affect more than others, and some people it'll seem to have little effect on, but don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. And what I found is, instead of worrying about the ripple effect, just keep doing what you're doing, the goodness out of your own heart, believing in yourself, believing in humanity, doing what's right, stepping up to the plate and doing what's right. I pick up trash everywhere I see it, and I throw it away. I do not walk past it. Okay, there's a reason for it. Because every time I walk past that trash, I'm really being obnoxious, and I'm being entitled, and I'm being rude, and I'm putting down Mother Earth every single time I do it. And it's time that we take responsibility, as we have. But it's amazing the ripple effect you might not even be aware of by doing simple acts of goodness that you don't even know anybody's watching. It's time. Even if you think it's crazy, even if you think it's hokey, it brings out the best in you, but it also brings out your purpose. And the more we love and the more we give, the more we receive. And you don't want to do it out of wanting to receive, but at the same time, you can't stop because it's just going to come, and you know it. So by doing the right thing, you know that the right thing's going to happen to you. There's no question. There's no question. Good always overcomes evil. It has to. It's just the way it is. It happens every time that way. And so tonight, when you drive into the driveway or you pull into the parking garage of your high-rise or wherever you live, begin to visualize that boat. Begin to see more adventure in your life. Begin to downsize a bit when it comes to things and realize that buying things doesn't make us happy. It just brings us more things. And begin to employ our new LYTL lifestyle, because I have a good feeling that you're going to love it. I got a great show for you next. And Live Your True Life Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time in 3 Shakes.